Let me just say to everyone here at Trinity, it has been a privilege to come up Sunday in these first days of this week. I've really enjoyed the time with you, visiting in between and after services, and just the time we've been able to spend in God's Word. It truly has been a privilege, and thank you so much for just opening yourselves up to us and allowing us to be here. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer tonight. Father, it's been refreshing just to be in Romans these few sessions, just to see what you've done for each and every one of us. And may tonight just be a practical look in how to treat one another in light of the gospel. May you speak to us in Christ's name, amen. You see up there on the screen a couple of crowns. Now I know, this is one thing you're going to have to get over with. You call them crayons, they're crowns. Okay, so get over it. It's just what they are. Okay, I'm from Philadelphia. That's what it is. They're crowns. All right. I know you think those are the things you put on your head. Those are the things you color with. Okay. So you see, okay, who can help me out here? What two color crowns do you see up there? Yes, sir. White and black. Okay. Now, a lot of times, what we like to think everything is either yes or no, don't we, in life? But adults, as we've been looking this week, especially at the gospel, remember what we said once we hit Wednesday night? Wednesday night is kind of the climax of the gospel, because this is one of those areas that in and of ourselves, we really have a tough time applying. Because is it always easy to get along with everybody? Kids, is it always easy to get along with everybody in your class? Why? There are differences between us, right?
Yes.
But you know what God can help us do? Whether we're in kindergarten or we're in our 88th kindergarten, God can help us love each other, can't he? Can we always love everyone else in this room tonight? Kids, can you love everyone in your class all the time? Because people do things different than us, don't they? But you know what? Because of what Christ did for us, when we saw back in the early chapters of Romans, because all of us deserve his wrath, and yet he took that wrath that we deserve on him on the cross that we looked at and observed last weekend with Easter and the resurrection. And when Christ was on that cross, he just didn't die a death. He died a death that he took our sin on him. And he died for everyone in this room. And those of us who have placed our faith in him, we believed in Christ for what he's done for us. We have that new life in him. And now we started to see last night that we need to be a living sacrifice. We need to be a living sacrifice right here in Trinity. And now we're going to see tonight, you know, even at Trinity, there are going to be some people who don't always see eye to eye with me. And guess what? That's okay. And as we look at Romans chapter 14 here, we have to realize I can't just have white and black crowns in my coloring box. I know some of you are just not going to get over that, are you? Okay? We need the color gray. We need the color gray. Because adults, let's be honest, there are some black and white issues in Scripture, aren't there? But in life, what color do we need to be pulling out of our crown box? Gray, because there's a lot of gray issues. Now, some of you are already looking at my screen and probably saying, what? I'm annoyed that you spelled gray, G-R-E-Y, right? Because I spell it what? G-R-A-Y. Either spelling is correct. I happened to put up the more British spelling just to see if I could get under anybody's skin tonight by putting up the more British spelling. But British or English spelling of gray, G-R-E-Y or G-R-A-Y, is an acceptable spelling. But just to show the point, what? Little things can get under our skin sometimes, can't they? And so what we want to do in the next few minutes, first of all, we just want to introduce the topic here. then we want to see four mandates that Paul gives us in dealing with gray issues. Then we want to see some motivation behind those four mandates. And then we want to finish with six practical principles for us to put into place, whether we're in kindergarten getting along with one another or older kindergartners getting along with one another. How do we handle it when believers differ from one another? And so Paul is going to use the term strong and weak here in the beginning of Romans chapter 14. Weak, I believe here, Jewish and God-fearing Gentiles who are going to remain committed to the Jewish law. Do you need to remain committed to the Jewish law in order to be saved? No. But some, because they grew up in that culture, still felt they needed to hold on to that. Okay? Others, Gentiles, strong, believed they had no compulsion to hold on to the Mosaic law. And so we have two issues here that are being addressed in the chapter. One, can I eat certain food? So really here we have the meat eaters, those who felt they could eat meat, and the salad eaters. Now, if you went out to eat tonight and you had the option between a salad bar or a big, fat, juicy steak, which are you doing? Yeah, a lot of us are going right for the steak, right? Okay, so really what we see here is there's two issues. Some felt they could eat meat, and others felt, by their conscience, they couldn't eat meat. Some felt like, with the issue of holy days, do we meet on Sunday or do we meet on another day? Do we have to observe the Jewish holy days or do we not observe the Jewish holy days? Now, the very easy thing in this passage, what could Paul have done? Here's how you handle this issue. You can eat the meat or you can't eat the meat. You worship on this day or you worship on this day. You observe this holy day or you don't observe this holy day. That would be the easy thing, right? And that would be, hey, oh, thanks, Paul, you settled it for us. But would that help us out a lot today? Do we fight over eating salad or over eating steak, being scriptural? But he does give us principles. And you know what? Really, I think what we have pictured here, when we have salad eaters versus the meat eaters, okay. Awana, you ever involved in a food fight? Oh, no. I've never been involved in a food fight. I don't want to admit it anyway, right? Food fights are fun till what? Till somebody gets hurt. Food fights are fun until somebody gets hurt. Adults, food fights in the church are fun until when? Somebody gets hurt. You know, we think, oh, food fight in the cafeteria, that's one thing. Food fights in a church can lead to what? Chaos splits. And that's not what God wants. God does not want another Trinity Baptist Church here in Fond du Lac. God wants what? Trinity Baptist Church in Fond du Lac. And so he says here in verse 1 of Romans chapter 14, as for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. So I put this cool word up here, opinions, adiaphora. Those things, opinions here are things indifferent. They're not required, they're not prohibited. All right, so that's what we're talking about here tonight. He's not talking about clear commands of Scripture. Avoid this. Do not steal. He's not saying, okay, that's up for opinion. No, that's a clear command of Scripture. You just need to what? Obey it. Okay? Adiaphora, opinions are, I've come to Scripture and I've really studied this out. And young people, can I encourage you tonight? You're in Awana's. You have the wonderful privilege every week of coming together to memorize Scripture. Oh, lay a great foundation in your life right now. Everything we talk about is not going to, you're not going to say, oh, I need to do that right now. But you know what? You're laying a foundation. You're memorizing scripture, and guess what? That scripture is going to guide you through life. It's going to be like that big flashlight in the dark. You know, did you ever get up in the middle of the night and have to go walking through the house to find the bathroom? And that's when you find out why mom and dad told you to put your Legos away? Because you go walking, at least while the kids never find them, the adults find them, right? You go walking through the middle of the house at night, and your foot always finds what, mom and dad? The Lego. And a guide. But we're talking about opinions here, those non-essential things. This doesn't mean just because scripture doesn't address it means it's an opinion. Like I have up there, recreational use of narcotics is not an opinion. Scripture's clear, you don't do that. All right, but these are areas where there's some flexibility. And so I like this little statement here. Those things that are essential, believers, we need to have unity. In non-essentials, we need to have liberty. But in everything, we're to be guided by what? Charity and love. So let's look at these mandates, about these opinions. About these opinions. When it comes to opinions, we all love to give our what? We love to give our opinion. But look what he says here. Believers, okay? Now really, the issue here, can you get much different on the food eating issue? One believes you can eat meat, and the other one believes you can't eat meat. Can you really get much of a 180 difference here? So these are issues that we are not seeing eye to eye on from Scripture. And what is he going to say here? As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. So he's saying to the strong, welcome the weak. Look at verse 3. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains. Let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. God has done what? Welcomed him. Look down at 14, verse 18. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God. Look at one more verse over in chapter 15, because this whole passage continues into chapter 15. Chapter 15, verse 7 says, therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. We're going to have issues that we're at 180 odds on. What's he saying here? Did Christ welcome you? Did Christ take the wrath that you deserve? And what's he saying? Christ welcomed you. You need to what? Welcome each other. Accept each other. So he's saying here, mandate is to welcome. Number one, you see here, roll out the welcome mat. Welcome means I treat that individual like an insider. And the word here is, this is your responsibility. It's not the rest of Trinity's responsibility. It's everyone's responsibility to accept everyone else as an insider. And he says here, welcome him. This is a command. So we need to welcome each other. Another one of the mandates that we see here. So we start with acceptance and then we refuse to argue. He's saying, look, one of you wants to eat prime rib. Another one wants to eat salad. Get over it and don't argue. Look at verses 3 and 4 again. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls. And so we need to refuse to argue. We need to have a welcoming spirit towards one another. Refuse to argue. Again, the problem here is what? If someone disagrees with me, I have a hard time biting my lip. I always have to what? Try to convince him. The problem is he wants us, though, in the third aspect of this mandate, adjust our attitude. He's telling the weak to receive the strong and the strong to receive the weak. Why? Because God has received both of you. And here's the picture of what he's trying to get across, I believe, in these verses. I'm receiving, I'm welcoming. What do I do a lot of times, though? If I'm the weak, and I'm inviting the strong over. So Pastor Leeds, on the issue, you're the stronger brother, I'm the weaker one. Okay? Pastor Leeds, you want to go further now? Sure. Okay, great. I'm welcoming him. But I'm welcoming him over because, and I will chat with Pastor Leeds, I'm going to tell him what for on this issue. That's not welcoming. And welcome one another. And we also, in this passage, then, the last part of this mandate is we need to remember our authority. I think it's very interesting in this passage where he is dealing with gray issues, he reminds us about the judgment seat of Christ. We are all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ someday. That is a sobering thought. And again, if I can go back to the illustration, pastor believes one thing on a certain issue. I believe the opposite on a certain issue. Okay? Who's he responsible for? He's responsible for himself to God. I am not. Now, we're going to talk in just a minute about judging, but the judgment seat of Christ. So the mandate here is we need to welcome one another. Our motivation has to be God in verses 5 through 6. We are responsible to God because our convictions may differ. And if we insist on uniformity, we naturally assume that our way is correct. And so he's telling us here in verses 5 through 6, one person esteems one day as better than another. Another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord. What does he say there at the end of verse 5? You become fully convinced in your own mind. Believers, this is something we don't do a lot. We need issues, questions. We need to be driven to Scripture and come to our own what? Convictions. I can't have the convictions of pastor. Pastor's convictions are not good enough for me. They might help guide me and lead me, but I need whose convictions do I need? I need my convictions. I need to be convinced by Scripture. Look what it says there again in verse 5. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. And then on this issue, look at verse 6. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, so eats meat, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God. While the one who abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. So what's he saying here? The one who is eating meat is able to do it what? With a heart and thanks to God. I can relate to that. He says so too. The one who eats the salad does what? Yes, he does. He loses weight and he's able to give thanks to who? God. Each one before God the Father is able to do what? Give thanks. Why? Because they are fully convinced in their own mind. What are we basing our convictions on? And so we need to recognize that we need to live before the Lord. God is more concerned about our vertical relationship with Him. So what are some practical questions we can ask at this point from the text? Can I do what I am doing and be in total submission to God? Look at verses 6 through 9. How many times does it say, all right, somebody quick. Between verses 6 and 9, tell me how many times God or Lord is used in verses 6 through 9. You know? Romans chapter 14. Oh, no, this is a charge. We already charged. We charged like 30 seconds ago. So whoever finds it and can tell me how many times God or Lord is used in 6 through 9. Yes, over here. You're close. No, you're guessing. You're guessing. You didn't read it. Yes, sir. Micah? I'm sorry. You. Yes. No. Nathan? How many? 9 is the correct answer. Okay, and I did not cheat and give him the answer. I just want everybody to realize that, okay? God and Lord is used 6-9 times in these few verses. It's me before God. Am I giving thanks to God for this activity? Again, verse 6. Because God is my judge. God is my judge. So why are we despising each other's convictions? Because each one of us is going to be evaluated one day by who? God. At the judgment seat of Christ. Now, as I state there, remember Romans chapter 6. This is not a free pass to live as I want, right? Because I am being driven to the Scripture to understand what? What I believe about this. And my heart before God. So realize here, as I come to a conclusion about this conviction, I'm thinking what? One day I'm going to stand before a holy God and give an account for what? My conviction. Oh, this is not loose living. Remember what Paul said back in chapter 6. This is, God forbid that we just take this as a free pass to live the way we want to. But then some could say, you have this conviction. Don't you judge me. Don't you judge me. Is this a free pass that we never have to judge one another? Do we never judge? No, I think we could look at some other scriptures, and I'll put them up here. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us what? An unrepentant sinner, we are to judge. There was a sinner living in obvious sin in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and we are to confront those individuals as believers. Romans chapter 16, the same book, is going to tell us that we need to judge false teachers. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6 tells us we are to withdraw from a brother who walks against the clear teaching of God's word. So are we never to judge? No. We are to judge ourselves. But when it comes to these gray areas, we're not to judge. Can I maybe put out an example at this point to help us think through this? These type of things in the church. What are six principles for us to practice? Number one, we need to practice the principle of protection. Verse 13, therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. I'm never going to do anything to spiritually harm a brother or a sister in Christ. Now, what is he saying here, though? This is not, okay, this is not,
this is what? I've brought spiritual devastation to the life of a believer. That's a stumbling block. So here's how this would play out. Younger generation would force older generation somehow to go to the bowling ball. That's what. Is it wrong for the younger generation to go to the bowling alley? No. Would it be wrong for the younger generation to somehow force grandma and grandpa, if they were under the conviction not to go, to go and take them to the bowling alley? Now we've got them up. See, what do we do sometimes? Bowling alley generation who's not going to go sees younger generation going to the bowling alley and they say what?
Here of protection. I am never going to do anything to harm, to spiritually devastate. Someone might say, it's bowling. The problem is non-moral issues may be perceived as moral. Issue of music. You know, for a believer who was saved maybe out of a rock band, a disc jockey, that type of thing, that individual might be spiritually devastated if you start forcing that music on him or her. Whereas another believer, certain types of music, not a problem. The principle of protection, because my motivation is going to be love. Look at verse 15. By what you eat, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. Look at what Christ sacrificed. Look at what Christ sacrificed for each and every single one of us. Remember how Christ viewed us? To leave heaven, to come to this earth, to take God's wrath in my place. And I'm not willing to sacrifice my little Christian liberty to protect a brother or sister in Christ. We should not grieve a brother or a sister. And again, we're talking about causing to stumble here, to destroy, to spiritually devastate. Number one is the principle of protection. Number two is the principle of reputation. You are not free to do what you want, but you're free to do what he wants. And I need to remember this as I come to this second principle here. The principle of reputation in verses 16 to 18. He says, so do not let what you regard as good to be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And so what's he saying here? He's saying, you're not free to do what you want. You are free now to serve Christ. And spiritual maturity recognizes, I do have an influence on people. And the kingdom is more in this illustration than eating meat or not eating meat. The kingdom, the children of the kingdom are about righteousness, joy, and peace. Is that what you're about here at Trinity? Are you about joy, righteousness, and peace, or about doing what you want to do? Because you have the liberty to do it. I need the principle of reputation. Thirdly, I have the principle of consideration. I need to seek peace and edification. It's evil to offend, but it's good to avoid offense. And he says here, clarification under this, in non-moral issues, some can enjoy God's gifts while others need restriction due to a doubting conscience. And so I need to have a consideration for brothers and sisters in Christ. And he says here, it's evil to offend in verses 20 to 21, but it's good to avoid offense. He says, do not for the sake of food destroy the work of God. Take seriously that this is the work of God here at Trinity. And don't destroy it. Does God take seriously his work? Can I take you back to Acts chapter 5? Ananias and Sapphira wanted to mess with the work of God. And what happened to Ananias and Sapphira? Dead. I'm not saying God's going to drop you dead. But I think the principle from Acts chapter 5 is we need to take seriously God's work. And it ties in here with the principle of consideration. Everything is indeed clean, but it is wrong for anyone to make another stumble by what he eats. It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to stumble. So we need the principle of consideration. Fourthly, we need the principle of conviction. Decide, again, ties in with what we've looked at earlier, but decide what you believe. There's three levels of personal belief. You can have a preference. We all have preferences. What we're driving at here tonight is we need to have convictions, though, too. When I take Scripture and apply it, that becomes a conviction. The problem is we all like to live in what? Preferences. That's your preference, that's my preference. We need to come to convictions. That's your conviction, that's my conviction. And when we come to those convictions based on the teachings of Scripture, then liberty is making choices out of love for God and love for others. Many, many times my choices of liberty are made out of what? Me first. But he's saying here, make your choices out of love for God and love for others. So come to some convictions. And then in chapter 15, he gives us the principle of imitation. Move past partiality and prejudice and imitate Christ. Chapter 15, verse 1, we who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak, not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good to build him up. For Christ did not please himself. Don't please yourself. Imitate Christ. Christ's example is he supports the weak. Think of Peter again with me. Peter denied him to his face, and Christ supported the weak. Christ always supported the weak, and as believers, we need to support one another selflessly and sacrifice for one another. And finally, he gives us the principle of reception in verses 4 through 13. Accept one another as Christ accepted you. We read it earlier, but 15 verse 7 says, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for what? The glory of God. The problem is we're different and I'm proud. But the power of the Holy Spirit can do what? Produce unity. So what are the principles we need to be practicing? In review, practice the principle of protection. In these gray issues, and we know there are a lot of gray issues. There's more gray in the crown box than there is black and white. But in these gray issues, I am never going to do anything to harm another believer in Christ. Principle of reputation, you are not free to do what you want, you're free to do what he wants. So an area I would disagree with you on, if you came to this, you came to the that it was okay to every once in a while to partake in some alcohol, I would disagree strongly with you. Think of the principle of reputation and the principle of protection. Adults, look around you tonight. We're surrounded by the next generation. Think of the principle of protection and reputation right there. These kids look up to who? Teens who work with these kids look up to us. And what you do is exactly what they want to do. And you say, hey, I'm fine. We know the statistics, though. One time, and you can be an alcoholic for life. They see you, and what could happen? You could ruin a life for eternity. The principle of protection has got to guide us. The principle of reputation has to guide us. The principle of consideration, seeking peace and edification in the body of Christ. The principle of conviction, decide what you believe and live it. The principle of imitation, moving past partiality and prejudice and imitating Christ. And then finally, the principle of reception. We need to embrace the scriptures, the saints, and the sovereign. In closing tonight, as we finished other times, just a few gospel lessons. Number one, here at Trinity, welcome each other. Welcome one another. It doesn't matter, we're on 180. The beauty of the gospel is on these gray issues, we accept one another. If you find yourself saying tonight, or on a certain issue, you shouldn't do that as you look at another member here at Trinity. That offends me. Or you shouldn't go there. You're tipping your hand. You don't get Romans 14 and 15. You don't get the principles that we looked at here tonight. On the other hand, if you find yourself saying, I have the right to do this. I have the verse to back me up. Did the strong in Rome have the verses to back them up that they could eat meat? They had the verses to back themselves up, but Paul still said what? Welcome them. Receive them. And don't do anything to cause them to stumble. So if you find yourself saying, I have the right case closed, you're weaker and you need to grow up. Well, we might not say that verbally, but how many times have we made comments like that in our head? You're tipping your hand as well. Because whether we're weak or strong, none of us who can read Romans 14 and 15 can read it without having our toes stepped on. The motivation must be love. And guess what? This is only possible, again, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Through the power of a changed life in the gospel, I can lay myself aside like Christ laid himself aside, and I can put my arms out, and I can love, and I can welcome that brother or sister in Christ who just doesn't necessarily see eye to eye with me on that issue. And that is what? That is a testimony to a lost and dying world of the power of the gospel. What does your life testify here at Trinity? Does it testify of those principles of that mandate of welcoming one another? Or is it all about me? Christ came to die and it was all about us. As we come together as a body, other and ourselves last. Isn't that the little song that we always used to sing as kids? What is joy? Jesus, others,